Steve, always good chatting with you, my friend. And I must tell you that I'm headed up that way tomorrow for the madness of moving in. And as much as I love visiting the area, as you well know as an alum, I have to be honest, I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, Micah Shrewsbury had to come over, and he and Scott Walker said it took them forever to go across town today, let alone tomorrow.
Well, and as I was telling your producer, Matt, maybe, the good news is my daughter's apartment is on the edge of college on the south end there, or by South Halls, whatever, whether that's east or west, yeah. I forget. But at least it's not far off the highway. So hopefully we won't have to traverse too far and have to fight the traffic on College or Beaver too much.
Wow. Whew. Well, let's get at least
looking,
get to the steel.
Not looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, that's no. That is not a fun time. Believe me, it's. I'm not telling Jerry. It's not a fun time. I know that a lot of my work in terms of traveling around on Saturday is going to be done in the morning. Simple as that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The Steelers have the Lions coming up. I guess Ben's going to play a little bit in this game. Mike hint at all as to a series, two, a quarter? What might it be?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see two or three series depending on how the series go. If for any reason it's a couple three and outs, then you might see it be four series. But I think what they'll look for is some continuity in one of the series. But he won't play. He'll play probably more than a quarter. I expect a quarter and a half. I really don't expect any more than four series, but that's only if the two of the series are three and out. There's mixed opinions in terms of whether he should or shouldn't play. You know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played a preseason game since 2018. He's not going to again this year. Tom Brady actually played the opening series last week for their preseason opener. And he's 44. I looked it up. Manning played in his older years in the preseason. So did Drew Brees. And Ben plays one game. I don't think he needs to play personally because, Steve, you look at last year, there was no preseason. And he's coming off major elbow surgery. And if ever there was a time you would think somebody needs to play a preseason game before the opener, that would have been it. And yet he didn't. And what happens? He comes out in the first five games. He throws 11 touchdowns and one interception. So didn't look like he needed any preseason games then. But I get what they want to do here. Steelers have a new coordinator in Matt Canada. They have a new system, new terminology. It's not like they're going to go unveil a lot of their plays, the stuff we see in practice. I doubt you'll see a lot of in the games. But they just want to get him out there communicating with the coordinator, calling a couple things. You know, you also have three rookies basically in the starting lineup between Najee Harris, Kendrick Green, and I throw Pat Freiermuth in there because of how much they're going to, one, use him, and two, use two tight ends. So, you want to get a little bit of that going. But, again, the converse, there's 3 weeks after this game, Steve, until the start of the regular season. So it's not like you're going to get a little warm-up and say, okay, I'm ready to go, because there's three more weeks before you're going to play a game again.
What have you thought? Mason Rudolph, to me, is Mason Rudolph. Is he better than he was before? Yeah, he's better. So let's put him to the side for a moment. What do you thought of Dwayne Haskins?
Well, I need to see more than one preseason game against the other team's second and third guys where nobody's game planning. That being said, when you see him in practice and see him throw the ball, you understand his physical skill set, and you understand, based on 50 touchdowns in one season, his only season in college, why you could get enamored with the guy. But his problems in Washington, reading defenses, being unable to go through progressions, those things don't always go away. Now in camp, when on 7-on-7 or, when the scripted stuff that they run, when you know where the defense is going to be, you find your target and you throw it and you look good. So it's easy to see, even in training camp, where you would say, well, this guy's pretty impressive. I will say this, in the game in Philadelphia the other night, and Mike Tomlin remarked how he stood there and went through his progressions a couple times, turned a busted play into a touchdown. You see some of the mobility that he has. Not that he's, you know, not that he's Lamar Jackson or even Baker Mayfield, but he has enough athleticism. He can get out on the edge and or at least start to sprint out and throw the football, which is what he did on the busted play that turned into the touchdown. So you see some of that. But until I see it in a game situation, and until they've seen it from Mason Rudolph. And so unless Mason Rudolph gets – Ben gets hurt, Mason Rudolph comes in and struggles like he did a couple years ago when they went to Duck Hodges, I don't see Dwayne Haskins – moving up to number three, because I don't see Mason Rudolph, again, unless Ben gets hurt, doing anything to go backward and hurt his chances. I just think right now that's the prudent way to be. I don't think they could be putting, you know, all their eggs in Dwayne Haskins' basket. And they're not about to. But I think what they have seen so far, you know, to bring him in, the deal cost them nothing. And, you know, it was worth a shot. But I don't think they're ready to sit there after one preseason game and say this, there's a battle for the number two position, because there's not.
Completely agree with that. Completely. Stephon Tuitt had his contract restructured, which in turn freed up more money for the Steelers. Who might benefit from that extra money, T.J. Watt or Minka Fitzpatrick?
Well, I don't know that his restructure created enough money to make those you know, ensuing deals any more palatable financially, at least for the Steelers, because they're going to be big money deals. But, you know, they're constantly restructuring. They're the best in the league at handling the cap. They're up against it every year, and yet they retain 99% of their core players, all of their star players, their best players. And they're 17 straight years without a losing season. By far the best in the league. I think the next closest team is nine seasons in a row. And that's how they do it. That's why they're the best at it. So they know what they're doing. You know, even with T.J. Watt, you know, you hear all these stories, he wants quarterback money or he wants to be the highest paid defensive player. I can tell you what, he's only going to be what the Steelers feel that they should pay him, and they will handsomely pay him. They already have. And so his new deal will be a monster deal. It's not going to break the bank, because they know they have to sign Minka next year, which they will. So every move they make in terms of these, you know, they just restructured Joe Schober's contract. He's only going to cost them $1.7 million this year. That's a little more than some of the nightmarish numbers we saw, somewhat nightmarish numbers we saw being kicked around because of the big contract he signed in Jacksonville. 5 years, $54 million. $21 million of it guaranteed. So they're just very good at it, Steve. And they'll find a way. And I think, you know, so when they see players who they can restructure and create some cap space, they do it all the time. Now, you know, they're kicking that money, you know, that deferred money into a signing bonus, but they're still able to do it where they can create the space they need year after year after year.
It's interesting because, Jerry, you brought up Schobert. I was going to bring him up as well. That deal surprised me, just the fact that they acquired him, because my evaluation of it is I feel like they acquired a pro's pro. I mean, this guy plays.
Yeah, Steve, I don't think there's any question the guy's a pro's pro, and they got him for a sixth-round draft pick. So right. Then that begs the question, why did Jacksonville let him go for a sixth-round draft pick? And so what I've been told by my informants in Jacksonville is, or informant, is that Joe Schobert doesn't run as well as he used to. Now, he still is a big upgrade over Robert Spillane, and that's no knock against Robert Spillane. It was a great deal for the Steelers because of, one, the type of player and person Joe Schobert is. Two, it strengthens their starting 11. And three, it puts Robert Spillane back where he's intended to be, and that is as a backup. So it improves their depth because now that puts him as a reserve, Spillane, and it improves their starting unit. And it's a guy who is better in coverage than what they had with Vince Williams and better than what they have with Robert Spillane. So, you know, it was almost a no-brainer from this standpoint, Steve. His contract goes big-time balloon next year, $8.9 million salary, you know, big cap hit, $9-plus million salary. So the Steelers can walk away from him after a year, or after this year, after already negotiating his, you know, restructuring his contract, only $999 salary, $2.5 million, $2.3-some million signing bonus. You know, next year they can say, okay, and they added a voidable year in 25. So they tacked an extra year on to defer the signing bonus hit. And so after this year they can say, okay, Joe, if you want to stay, this is what we're going to do. Otherwise, we're going to cut you. And, you know, and then, you know, they can renegotiate his deal to a lesser number after that. But I'm with you in terms of the quality of the acquisition. There's no doubt about it. It gives them another really solid player, a one-time Pro Bowler, to pair alongside Devin Bush.
Steelers will be playing the third preseason game coming up because they had the Hall of Fame game. And, of course, you and I both will sit back and we'll have a couple laughs here and there at the overreactions of any preseason game.
Right.
At this stage, is there anything that you're looking for? Is there a player in the 35 to 53 range that you're looking at to see whether, you know, whether they're on track to make the team? What are you looking for?
You know, it's funny, Steve. I don't think there's many guys in a battle to make the team, especially when you consider the rookies aren't in a battle to make the team. Excuse me. The draft choices aren't in a battle to make the team.
True.
They just don't cut them, especially anybody above the fifth round. So that includes Buddy Johnson, Dan Moore, the tackle who, you know, from Texas A&M. Both those guys are from Texas A&M. They really like Dan Moore, and they've played him on both sides. And that's a guy to look to in the future. And that's a good young guy if Max Starks, you know, who has three quarters of an NFL experience as a starter in. If for some reason that they think, okay, Max, I say Max because they brought that back Max Starks right to be their sideline reporter. Zach Banner
right
is, you know, you have to see what you have in him, but he's also a nice quality backup, a nice swing tackle. So they really like Dan Moore. So, you know, then you start looking at the other rookies. You know, it sounds silly. Maybe the biggest battle is at punter. Who's going to be the punter? Presley Harvin? Right. The 260-pounder with the big leg, or Jordan Berry, who really they've tried to cut the last couple of years by bringing in other kickers, and they end up bringing him back. But to your question, Steve, I think offensively the guy I want to see a little bit more of, because when I saw him in OTAs and I saw him in camp, his feet make your eyes light up. Very quick feet, very fast, very quick cutting ability, and that's Kalen Ballage, who they signed as a free agent during the offseason. When you see his skill set and you watch some of his tape, his highlights, he looks very impressive. He ran well last week, and I think they want to take another look at him. He would be in the battle for, you know, that third or fourth running back spot. I think they're committed to keeping Anthony McFarland. He was their third-round pick last year. Benny Snell appears to be their backup. But then that would be Jalen Samuels or Kalen Ballage. And I will say this, Jalen Samuels is their best receiving running back. Now, they have that role kind of slotted for Najee Harris. And I don't think they're going to play Najee Harris every down. They're going to give him a break here and there for sure. But Jalen Samuels is their best receiving running back and has looked good in training camp and looked good against the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a very patient runner who, when he's had the opportunity, has put up some very good numbers. So I'll be curious to see Kalen Ballage and see if he plays well enough to, you know, force that hand and have them have to make a tough decision at running back, at least in terms of their depth.
I will be thinking about you tomorrow. Good luck with the move.
Thanks, because I'm going to need it, Steve. I will try to exhibit great patience.
And I know you will. It'll be the same patience that you will show when you're, you know, just behind a bunker and you know you got to kind of thread in it a little bit with a wedge. It's going to be that same kind of patience.
I was just going to say it's the same kind of patience I exhibit at number 2 at Oakmont when I'm 50 feet above the pin. 15 feet above the pin. And I know that ball can go right off the front of that green and with no trouble whatsoever.
Oh, I did that at Sunny Hannah 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what are you doing?
All right. Right, right.
Jerry, thanks so much, my friend. Good luck with everything.
Always good chatting with you, Steve.